All right, and it's Martin Luther King Day, so instead of our promise of the day, how about a little clip from Martin Luther King, I Have a Dream speech?
Even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Yeah. Dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream.
Yeah, if you're a Packer fan, kind of little green and gold pain today, yeah. And so we look to go above and beyond our call of duty because we've got on the line with us from the state of Michigan a certified comedian, counselor, and he suffered his share of losing. And so if you've got grief counseling, why not counseling you through the depression of a defeat? Like the Packers losing 37-20 NFC title game. Drew Fralick's on the line. Good morning, Drew.
Good morning, Mark.
You going to be able to salve the wounds this morning?
Yeah, well, I've realized, you know, as I'm writing this, I'm basically teaching you guys how to be a Lions fan until it's lost. So, in grief counseling, there's five stages of grief. There's denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. You've heard of this?
Sure, yeah? Sure. Uh-huh.
Okay, so I'm going to walk you through the five stages of grief as they pertain to football. And
okay.
This is, as I said, as a Lions fan, we have a lot of experience with this.
That's why we're calling on you today.
Yeah. There you go. So the first one is denial. So what you need to do is you need to find, like, a holding penalty that cost you a possession at some point in the game. Say things like, the ref stole the game.
Oh, no, you know what? Actually, I saw some of this on Facebook. I saw some of this on Facebook already, Drew. I saw somebody on a thread I put up there. I said, my post was this, okay? Because all year long, people said, you know, how we won ugly, and even the fans. And so I said, winning ugly is, you know, I'll take winning ugly over losing ugly every day of the week. And somebody also in the thread said they were blaming the refs. And I'm like, no, we were down 27-0 at halftime. So, okay, blame something. Yes, go ahead.
All right, so number two is anger. So you need to say things like, they need to fire everybody, the coach, the quarterback, the GM.
The defensive coordinator, yeah.
Everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, some people in parts of Michigan, they burn their couch. You could try that.
Okay.
Number three is, that's a real thing, by the way. Number three is bargaining.
Yeah.
You say something like, this loss doesn't matter because we're in the middle of a rebuild anyways.
Yeah, and so I'll just give you the Packer answer to that is, I mean, LaFleur's a first-year head coach. I mean, he went way further than any of us thought they'd go this year.
Oh, yeah, that's so perfect.
Yeah.
That's perfect. Then after that is depression, right? So you're so desperate for sports, you know, you start watching, like, World Series of Blackjack or something like that on ESPN4.
Okay.
Or you're watching old videos of the Packers winning the Super Bowl, you know.
Okay.
For the Lions, we've never won the Super Bowl, so you take them to the Super Bowl in Madden. Something like that.
even watching the Pro Bowl would be a sign of desperation next week.
Oh, yeah. The Pro Bowl, yeah, you're very desperate.
Yeah. Yeah. Go take a walk, please, yeah.
So number five, acceptance. So as a counselor, this one I'm actually serious about because I do think it's a real thing that, you know, people, they get depressed in the winter and stuff. And I think it's important to get out, get a hobby. You know, sometimes the football season ending can be a great opportunity to spend more time with your kids and just do things that you want to do. And
sure.
Instead of just watching people be athletic, go
exactly.
out and exercise yourself and enjoy life, you know. So
hey,
you just got to reframe it in a positive way.
We got six of the seven members of our family all out to the Y this past Saturday, and I was like, hey, they said it couldn't be done, so it's possible. So
there you go. Play some racquetball, go for a swim.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new day, you know.
Lift some weights, pump some iron, and again, for, you know, losing is the new winning is how my slogan. How do you like that?
That sounds like level one denial, but okay.
Thank you, Drew. Drew Fralick, WWIB. I'm going with it. Losing is the new winning. So think about it. I mean, all these positives that Drew pointed out, I mean, the Lions fans have been pursuing that since the end of the regular season.
Another weekend come and gone. I know you guys were all excited about the game. That's fun. And you watched it, and from the sounds of things, it wasn't as fun?
Yeah, you know, it was sort of to be expected, I guess. Yeah. We were kind of going up against a 49ers team that was better than we were, but I'd hoped for a little bit of maybe Aaron Rodgers magic and didn't quite see that. Maybe the defense let us down a little bit more.
I wanted to at least be competitive. My sister called me just before the game from Milwaukee. She's like, what do you think our chances? I said 10 to 20%. She's like, I'm like, yeah, realistically, 10 to 20%. And I think, there you go, the 80% won out.
It, honestly, there was a lot of kerfuffle about a San Francisco radio host saying the Packers have a 10% chance
right,
of winning.
Yeah, he was probably right.
Watching that first half, 10% seemed high. 10% seemed excessive. Yeah. But they played a little bit better in the second half, and that was kind of nice. They made a few nice plays. So,
Saturday, I went to the library used book sale, which is always great. You get a whole bag full of books for $5. It's hard to ever beat that. And a lot of other places sell used books, but that's outstanding. And then came home and tried to organize the books that I have. And I've got another bookshelf that needs to be put up. So, and watch the movie The Intern. With my daughter Elena. So
that's with what's his
name? De Niro.
Name?
Yeah, actually, Robert De Niro. And Anne Hathaway.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of cool. He's like 73 years old, and he goes back to serve as an intern in this like e company. And she's one of these business. She's got the business program. She's got the associate's degree in business, and so she's like, "Hey, my entrepreneurs class should watch this, and they should."
Yeah.
So anyhow,
super cool.
Nice.
Well, we started the weekend off getting ready for the candlelight snowshoe hike. We ran that event.
It was cold
on the hike, it was beautiful in the woods. There was no wind in the woods. It was lovely. You warmed right up. But I was not on the hike. I was serving hot cocoa for a good share of it. It was so cold.
Yeah,
guys.
It was cold Saturday.
It was so cold. Shout out to Matt Bieran and some random guy. I don't know his name. They were helping serve cocoa. And they were of much hardier stock than I, because I had to sit in my car for a while and warm up at one point. And there was one point where Beck was like, I think I'm ready to go home. I'm like, okay, let's go. I'm taking you home. And I got home and I was like, let me just make you something to eat, honey. Here, let me get this bread. And I was like stalling to go back. It was cold in the wind. It was cold in the wind. But people loved the hike. We had 120-ish people show up.
Wow, that's great.
And in the woods, it was beautiful. I did the loop once just so I could start to feel my toes again. And yeah, by the time I was out, I was warm and lovely and it was good. So,
well, I was working most of the day on Saturday, either snow clearing or then I did a doubleheader of basketball games. Pretty competitive games on our sister station, WOGO, including something I have not seen before. The McDonald boys were playing Alba Center Lincoln, a very, very good basketball team in their own right. The McDonald boys scored 8 points in the last 30 seconds to win by a point it seemed like the game had been completely decided. So that was exciting. And Saturday morning, backtracking just a little bit, I learned how to replace a shear pin on a snowblower. And here's the thing. Everybody's like, it's just a shear pin. It's easy.
If you've never done it before, it's not.
I didn't really. And again, I get the concept. I knew what I was supposed to do by looking at it. Generally, it's like, okay, I understand how this works. But when you try and get the nut off the end and couldn't figure out until I called my dad. He's like, you hold the nut, the bolt on one end with one wrench, and then you use another wrench to get it loose. Didn't realize that. So in between, I got a nice gash on my finger because I had asked my wife, hey, will you hold this with a pair of pliers? Well, I try and get it off. The pliers slipped. They gashed my hand.
Ow.
And eventually, I figured it out. And I was just so pleased that I had the right tools necessary and that I did it. And now I learned something.
There
you have
to
understand, as disinclined as I am mechanically, this was a major victory.
If I had done something like that, I would have called it a major victory.
Here's the thing.
Never done
just
it,
understanding that a shear pin is what made only half of my snowblower work was also a major victory. So yay for the blonde. I discovered something.
I just only know what they are this year because we've had this conversation. Our neighbor, he's this nice young guy. He sucked his welcome mat into his snowblower earlier this winter. And there was lots of discussion about shear pins with that. We love our neighbors. We have the best neighbors ever.
All right. It is Martin Luther King Day today. At least his birth anniversary being observed. His actual birthday, I think, was January 15th.
Dream deeply rooted in the American dream.
And that's him.
Martin Luther King. Yeah. And the famous Sigh of a Dream speech. We played a clip of it earlier this morning, but bringing that back here. But I always think of Caleb and I think of this book by Philip Yancey called Soul Survivor, How My Faith Survived the Church. Philip one of the best, most highly thought of Christian writers over many years. Billy Graham called him the greatest Christian writer of the 20th century. I mean, obviously, maybe living, because C.S. Lewis. But his book, Soul Survivor, talks about each chapter is like different individuals who helped his faith survive this racist church he grew up in the South. His brother left the faith and has not come back. And so Philip goes on to become, you know, how his faith survived that. And he acknowledges Martin Luther King, and he speaks very honestly in this book about, you know, as a kid, he was indoctrinated to be a racist. And the whole KKK environment that maybe was absurd. He says at one point, the Ku Klux Klan had an almost mystical hold on our imaginations. I wrote school papers about it. It was an invisible army, we were taught, a last line of defense to preserve the Christian purity of the South. And he goes on from there, and he talks about the shame he felt. Today, I feel shame, remorse, and also repentance. It took years for God to break the stranglehold of blatant racism in me. I wonder if any of us gets free of its more subtle forms, and now I see that sin as one of the most poisonous with perhaps the most toxic societal effects. And I just appreciate that chapter. It's a good read-through. I mean, he's a very educated guy, Yancey, very well-read, and recommends different books on King, but to champion the significance of Martin Luther King for helping be used of God to pull him out to see, wow, the church I was in, Yancey says, had many things that were true, but there was at least one giant lie of racism that went down deep into this great writer's heart. So.
Wow.
It's a Monday.
It's a Monday. I was going to say, there's a reason we're doing this after many folks might already have hustled the children on off to school, because this is science saying, hey, don't make your bed. Now, there was something that went around Facebook for a while, and it was, I believe, a retired Navy admiral who said the most important thing you can do is make your bed. It's something you can control. And that little discipline each and every day, which was wonderful.
I've heard that, yeah.
Now science is saying, oh, well, maybe don't. Failing to make your bed in the morning may actually help keep you healthy, scientists believe. This comes from Kingston University. Research suggests that while an unmade bed may look scruffy, it is also unappealing to house dust mites thought to cause asthma and other allergies. This study discovered the bugs cannot survive in the warm, dry conditions found in an unmade bed.
Well,
who knew?
So here's something I learned from my grandma, and grandmas have the best wisdom.
They do.
She didn't necessarily make the bed, but every morning she would tidy it and fold the covers back halfway, and she aired the bed every morning. She said, no, you have to air your bed every morning, and then later in the day you just pull the covers up and it looks made. But you air the bed.
It's hard for me.
Maybe grandma knew something.
It's hard for me to get beyond just kind of the... It's pretty well entrenched in my thinking. Like
that you make your bed when you get out of it.
That's a basic sign. You can't even make your bed, you know?
Yeah.
Here's a fun fact for you. The average bed could be home to up to 1.5 million house dust mites.
That's lovely.
The bugs, which are less than a millimeter long, feed on scales of human skin and produce allergens, which are easily inhaled during sleep. The warm, damp conditions created in an occupied bed are ideal for the creatures, but they are less likely to thrive when moisture is in short supply.
They're just nature's composters. Come on. It's disgusting. Sorry.
Yay, dust mites.
Yay.
Hey, real quick, before we get back to music, inauguration day today. So 3 years ago today, President Trump was inaugurated. And again, somebody's going to get inaugurated as president a year from today. Mm-hmm. Either him, maybe for a second term, or... We'll see. But then also you got FDR was the first president inaugurated on this day in 1937. Prior to that, March 4th is when it all went down.
Sure.
But then Kennedy in 61 on this day. In 81, Reagan, as soon as he got done with his inauguration, I think it's the speech, the 52 hostages in Iran were let go after 444 days in captivity.
Wow.
So they were kind of making a statement like, not on Jimmy Carter's watch. We're going to let him go. And 40 years ago today, Jimmy Carter announced that the U.S. Olympic team would not take part in the Summer Olympics in Moscow because of the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan.
A lot of history on this day.
Yeah. Wow. Lots of history. All right. So we've learned a lot. We've learned about inauguration.
And
we've
all those presidents had somebody else make their bed, I think. So.
We've learned about bed bugs and dust mites.
I'm hoping the White House doesn't have as many bed bugs as...
Let's hope not.
You don't necessarily normally equate getting your car's oil changed with picking up a Valentine's Day gift, but in the spirit of convenience store flowers.
And you know what? Some people love their spouses. Some people love their cars.
I would say there's room for both.
I would hope.
I would hope that it definitely leans one way.
And it's not towards the car, guys. Yeah.
Well, from our own West Bend, Wisconsin, Bob's Main Street Auto and Towing there is running Valentine's Day special.
Oh, really?
For all of the thoughtful gentlemen out there, bring in your vehicle for an oil change and receive a dinner gift certificate. The dinner and oil change special at Bob's there in West Bend.
Seriously, it's only $44.95, which, okay.
And you get a $30 dinner certificate.
$30 dinner gift certificate? Now, I can't find where this dinner certificate is for. It kind of scares me.
Yeah, and I guess that's the operative term here is it's a certificate, but where is it for? There are no, from what I have been able to find, I found the certificate. It does not say where you get dinner.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, you are buying your spouse's Valentine's gift from the same place you were getting your car's oil changed.
But the value alone
is a great value. It's a tremendous value.
I mean, you think about that. If you get a $30 dinner gift certificate, that knocks that price down to only like $15
for
the oil change.
Frugality and thriftiness are just wonderful. The couple that saves together stays together, I think.
Something like that. Dave Ramsey might be all over this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a value add. And what a great date night. You take the car in for a little oil and lube service. You can hang out together and visit while that's happening.
$44.95 for the whole deal.
I don't even know how much an oil change costs because my husband does them. So occasionally I have to go to the store and buy oil and filters, but I have no idea beyond that how much it would cost.
I think this is a pretty good deal.
Is it?
Seems solid. Seems solid. So if you happen to be going to West Bend,
be sure to take advantage of this stellar deal. It seems a little sketchy to me, can I just say?
Planning ahead for Valentine's Day, though, it would behoove you to do that, folks.
Yeah, do.
Valentine's Day is on a Friday, so I'm guessing there are lots of places that are going to be very, very busy.
I'm sure there are.
This year because of that.
You could make her dinner at home.
You could indeed.
As long as you do the dishes and clean up afterwards as well.
You could get the oil changed too separately. Separately.
All kinds of ways to show your love.
Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.